Amen. That's great. Praise the Lord. Thank you, ensemble. That was a blessing. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. This morning I preached on light is come. Thank God for the light. Thank God in Genesis 1 we find out that in the beginning God created and it was dark and it was without form and it was void and it was gloomy, and that's what darkness is. Darkness brings fear. Darkness brings gloominess, and it's thank God for the light, and light is come. God said, let there be light, and of course, Jesus is the light of the world, and he came into my life when I was 17 years old, and thank God light came into my life. And John 12, verse 35, we kind of continue this. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. And I want to talk to you about the children of light. Father, I pray you bless the preaching tonight, and you give us what we need from your word. We do thank you so much for the light. Thank you that we're no longer in darkness, and we don't have to be in darkness, and we thank you for that light. And we realize that the world loves darkness rather than light, as we have often, and still do sometimes. We like our sin, and the light reveals it. The light makes it manifest, and I pray, God, that we would just be what we need to be as children of light. Bless tonight. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We were led by the light. We talked about the light of God's Word, just somehow getting through our shell that maybe we built up, and certainly I had at the age of 17, but yet God's light, the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, shined through, and I was able to be saved, trusted Christ, and then according to the Bible now, I'm part of the children of light, and that's what we are as Christians. We're not children of darkness, we're children of light. We have nothing to do with darkness anymore. We should be totally turned away from darkness. We should enjoy light. Unfortunately, as we learned this morning, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And sometimes, unfortunately, that light bothers us. Sometimes when we have sin in our lives and things are going on that should not go on, or we have bitterness or whatever it might be in our lives, that light bothers us a little bit. We don't want to hear the preaching. We don't want to hear the songs. We don't want to, we just kind of want to be in our darkness. But, a true child of God, they're not going to enjoy darkness very long. I've said this before, the most miserable people on the face of the earth are backslidden Christians. Worldly people, they're kind of used to the darkness and everything. But a backslidden Christian's like the prodigal out in the pig pen. You know, it just you just don't get used to that, and you don't like it. It's not good. And we're sheep, and sheep don't like mud. Pigs like mud. Sheep don't like mud. Sheep, they don't want to be dirty. And the Christian, the true child of God, you're a child of light, and you don't want darkness. You really want that light. And according to Revelation 22:5, and we'll kind of end with this. Our eternal life is going to be in light. Amen. We're not, there's no darkness. There's no night in heaven. You'll never have to worry about the night again in heaven. It's just eternal light all the time. Now, the Bible talks about the Christians being children of light and talks about what we should be doing as children of light. And I wrote down several things here that refer to light and refer to the children of light and what we're going to be doing as far as being children of light. And the first thing I found was worshiping in the light, 2 Chronicles 5. 2 Chronicles 5. I was rejoicing over the ensemble's first song. I love the second song as well, but the first song just tied into this point so well. 2 Chronicles 5, worshiping in the light. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13, if you'll turn there, please. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. How'd that happen? That happened because of the light. That happened because the people were worshiping. It happened because the people were praising the Lord. It happened because they were saying, God is good. God's mercy endures forever. God is wonderful. God is great. And they were praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord together. And, you know, you see here, they came as one. There was unity. God loves it when his children get along. Amen. I mean, you know, one thing that just has to irritate a father is when his kids don't get along. And I believe with all my heart, it is a terrible, terrible thing to our Heavenly Father when we don't get along. Whatever it is that you're not getting along about, you better start getting along, because it hinders the worship of God as a whole. They were unified. They were together. They were as one. They gave praise to God. They thanked God. You know, they're praising the Lord. I mean, really praising God and thanking God. This kind of worship, it brought glory to God. And God loves that. He inhabits the praises of Israel. He inhabits our praises too. Now, you know, it's interesting. You know, you think about this worship that was taking place, and the Bible says in verse 14, the priest couldn't minister. It was so bright, the cloud. The glory of God was shining so bright. They couldn't even do what they were supposed to do. And because the people were just praising God. Now, you know, I was talking to somebody recently, and they were talking about a charismatic kind of a service, and said, well, you know, I only go to church where the Spirit is present. And I said, well, you know, there's only one way for the Spirit to be there. And they, oh, really? What's that? I said, well, the Spirit comes in us. Hello. And I said, you know, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And you're only filled as you get rid of garbage out of your life. You know, I get frustrated with folks that think they're going to live a wicked, worldly life and go in and have fun in church. That isn't how it works, folks. That's never been how it works. That is an insult to God Almighty, that we're going to live a wicked and worldly and heathen life and think somehow we've brought the Holy Spirit into the service. I'll tell you how you worship God like this. You worship God by everybody having the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you get together. And it all starts alone, by the way. It doesn't start in a group. You know, it amazes me how many folks can live like the devil out there and get together, and all of a sudden, boy, everything's good because everybody feels good, and we can swing from chandeliers, and we can get all happy and faint and all that kind of stuff. But then we go back out and live for the devil again. That's not true worship of God. True worship of God, it starts, go back to John chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus tells us. He's talking to the woman at the well. And John chapter 4, verse 23 says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, how? In spirit and in truth. In spirit. How in spirit? Well, we have the Holy Spirit. He just doesn't have all of us. Give him all of you. Amen. Let's all give him, all of us. Let's give him us. We have him. And it's a matter of us surrendering to spirit. And it says, and we'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What's truth? Truth's doing right. Truth's finding out what's right and do right. Amen. We're not going to live our own wicked life. We're not going to live our own selfish way. We're not going to do our own thing and think somehow we'll get together and we'll bring down power of God. It doesn't happen. Never has, never will. How do you worship him? In spirit and truth. Truth of the Word of God. You can't throw the truth out. Well, we had a Spirit-filled service. Didn't have any doctrine taught or preached or anything. You didn't have a Spirit-filled service, not with God's Spirit. God's interested in doctrine. God's interested in truth. He always is. God's not going to sell the truth. He said, buy it and sell it not. And the truth cannot be sacrificed and think somehow there's worship really going on. He said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Who's he seeking? He's seeking somebody that says, okay, here's the truth. Truth says, this is in my life and I need to get it out. Truth says, here's what I need to do and I need to be busy doing that. Truth says I need to be filled with His Spirit, so I've got to empty so I can be filled. I've got to empty that which is not His Spirit so I can be filled with that which is His Spirit. And then let's all get together then. Amen. God is a Spirit, verse 24, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hey, worshiping in the light. I'll tell you what, that choir special, that got me excited. You know, worshiping God. But it's not a game, folks. It's not just something we work up. It's not just something we can, you know, we get our music going and get some guitars and some drums and get some go-go girls up here and just get everybody all worked up. And that's not His Spirit. Well, that's a spirit, all right. That's not His Spirit. Let me tell you something. Clean up your life. Amen. That's what we need. We need to clean up. We need to be pure. We need to empty ourselves of ourselves and be filled with His Spirit. Get together then. How does the Spirit get in the church anyway? He comes in us. Amen. Amen. Wonder how many filled Christians there are here tonight. There's a lot, I'm sure. But that's what we need. And boy, you come together, and I guarantee God will come down. God will do something. By the way, I don't find anywhere in Scripture where swinging from the lights is really doing anything for God. We had a couple of guys parachute out of a plane this past week, and I'm not so sure God was in that. He let them live, but... But praise the Lord. I'm just saying, you know, we can do a whole lot of things. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's you know, something that is wonderful for God. You want to do something for God? You want to get a bus route and watch God do a great thing and a Sunday school class and a church service and all that? Be filled with the Spirit yourself. Amen? And get with other folks that are filled with the Spirit. By the way, gossip prayer meetings, that's not being filled with the Spirit. That's a wrong spirit. Amen. Worshiping in the light. In the light. Hey, it's a light time. We're children of light. Lights come. How much of the light are we letting out of our lives? How much do people see? He is God. He deserves our praise, and we ought to praise Him. The problem is, if we're so full of ourselves, we can't praise Him. Worshiping in the light. Number two, John 9. John chapter 9 and verse 4. Working in the light. Number one is worshiping in the light. Number two is working in the light. John 9 and verse 4, just a very simple, simple truth. And it's amazing. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Work, for the night is coming. I love the song. Amen. And it's so true. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Well, you know, I'll wait and paint the house at night. Probably not. You better have some real good lights. Amen. We just don't put things off till dark, usually, outside to work. We usually try to do them while it's day. And we need to work now because it is day. I hear people saying, times are tough. And it's a hard time for the church now. And churches are struggling. And bus routes are struggling. And attendance is going down and all this. Let me tell you something, though. There's still a great opportunity right now. And that's an excuse of the devil. You know, well, and you say, well, but communism's coming and the Muslims are taking over and all that. But they haven't yet. We can still go out there and tell people about Jesus. We still can run our buses. They make it hard. They're making it tough. But so what? We can work now. We need to work. We need to do the work now. And it's still light, folks. It's still daytime. We still can get things done for the Lord Jesus Christ. We did at the fair. We did at Vacation Bible School. We've done it year-round. People have gotten saved. People have gotten baptized. And it's still day, and we can still work, and we need to get busy, and we need to work. God's still blessing. He's still God. God's still going to honor His Word. God's still saving souls. Amen. We just talked about folks getting saved at the prison. I mean, He still saves. People got saved yesterday out soul winning. And folks are still getting saved. Yes, our rights are being taken away, but we better work now. As we see more and more rights being taken away, let's work now. You're not going to go to jail because you go soul winning. You're not going to go to jail because you hand out gospel tracts. Oh, you might get somebody mad. You might get run out of an apartment complex. Somebody might get upset if you try to run a bus in there. But hey, we still can. I'm not going to go to jail for it. There may be the day where going door to door is illegal. Huh? There may be a day where, all buses have to have seat belts. Oh, my. It's a scary thing. But hey, we don't have to now. We can still run our buses. Let's do it. Get busy. You know it's frustrating. There's so many potential drivers out there. We need drivers. We need bus captains. We need bus workers. Amen. And it's day. It's day. You know what'll happen, Brother Kelvin, wherever you are back there? You know what's going to happen? It's going to happen where they're going to make laws and we won't be able to run buses anymore. And folks that never did anything in the bus industry say, how sad that is. We can't run those buses. Hey, but we can today. Let's do it. We need help. We need drivers. We need folks to get their CDL. Work now. Now's the time. Amen. In fact, we know it's going to get worse. In every aspect, it's going to get worse. Let's work while we can. Brother Johns announces Stryker, Ohio, you know, this orientation thing. And you can go and you can preach and praise the Lord. And I mean, that's a wonderful thing. And why? Because we can do it now. Day's coming. We're not going to be able to do those things. Don't you think it's amazing? I hear people all the time say, well, you know, you go to a foreign country, you could preach in the public schools. And, boy, you can't do that here. No, you can't, but you can in the prison. You can on the streets. It's amazing, you know. Oh, if we could go in the public schools, I'd go preach to those kids. Go preach to prisoners. Go preach to people in jail. I mean, we still can do that. Let's do it. Because the day is going to come someday. It's going to be, you can't go in there anymore. Not with that message. You're going to have to take a Quran. Hello. I ain't taking a Quran. I might take the cover of one and have the King James Bible inside. Now in 2 Esdras it says, for God so loved the world. Working in the light while it's light. It is not dark yet. It's dark in some places, boy, I'll tell you. Christians have to hide. Christians have to, meet in secret. But we don't. We don't. And yet, how many of you carry tracts throughout the week? You might as well be secret. Amen. Come on now. I mean, how many of you pass out tracts? How many of you tell people, I go to Berean Baptist Church? What do they call you, Gabby? The Berean girl. Oh, that's the Berean girl. Amen. I like that. I like it because we can. It's still light. We can tell people, hey, I go to the Baptist church. Someday we might be meeting in a wood somewhere. You don't tell anybody. You know, it's kind of a secret. You give out the gospel and somebody gets saved. You say, we're going to baptize you in the pond. It's 30 degrees. Oh, yeah. Hey, listen to me. Many, many stories of breaking ice to baptize. Yeah, that's people that are serious. But again, we can baptize. Well, we can't today. I don't think. But listen, folks, it's day. It's the day. It's light. We need to work in the light. How many say, well, I'll do it someday. The smallest deed is better than the greatest intention. Well, I got folks that have intentions that are huge, absolutely gigantic intention. But the littlest, teeniest little deed is greater than any great intention. Someday, may never come. We need to work now. Now is when we need to work. We're worshiping in the light. We're working in the light. Number three, Romans 13 and verse 12. We are warring in the light. Romans 13 and verse 12. Warring in the light. Bible says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Amen. And, you got a war in the light. It says in verse 11, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Time to wake up. Can't fight a battle in your sleep. Amen. The war can't be won in our sleep. Some folks are asleep to their armor. They're just not aware of it. They don't know anything about it. In Ephesians 6, God gives his equipment, faith, righteousness, salvation, the gospel, the Bible, truth. I mean, God's armor to protect us. And how many Christians, it's kind of like, I don't need that. You do need that if you're in the war. And it's light. It's time to fight. It's time to fight the battle. It breaks my heart to watch so many folks that claim the name of Christ. They're just not in the war. Well, you know, we just want to get along. We all just get along with each other. famous patriot said that once. And by the way, you got upset when that guy said that. Why can't we all just get along? If you don't remember, I'm not going to tell you. But you got all bent out of shape. You said, I just can't. And yet, as Christians, that's what we think. You can't get along with the devil. We can't hold hands with the devil. We can't be buddies with the devil. It's war. It's war. We can't get along with those who are opposed to our God. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to be mean and nasty. The battle that we fight, well, we'll get to it here in a minute. It's a spiritual battle, folks. It's a prayer battle. It's an on our knees battle. It's a battle of standing for the things of God and taking our stand. Asleep to the armor, asleep to the war. Huh? So many Christians. You know, one of these days they're going to awaken and realize, I guess we are in a war, aren't we? I mean, you know, again, it goes back to fighting each other. How foolish when you understand the devil's out to stick everybody in the gizzard. Yeah, it just is so foolish. You know, well, I can't believe they did that. Well, believe it. They did. So what? Go on. Amen? I mean, since when is flesh perfect? Never. No, not any of it. So just go on. Well, they insulted me. Okay, go on. It's okay. You'll be all right. They hung Jesus on a cross. It'll be okay. Amen? I mean, honestly, though, there is a battle. There is a devil. He's out to destroy us. He's out to ruin our lives. He's out to ruin our kids. And we want to get upset because somebody parked in somebody else's spot. We want to get upset because somebody ignored somebody. You know? Unbelievable. And listen, so many are asleep to the enemy. The devil's doing his thing. It is a battle that we have. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Not at all. Not at all. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, there are strongholds that the devil has control of, and we're totally oblivious. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Whose thought? Your thought. To the obedience of Christ. We're in a war. It's time to wake up. It's light. It's the war is to be fought in the light. And so many don't even understand. You know, your armor is tucked away nice and quiet in the closet. And when you get to heaven, you'll have nice, shiny, polished armor. What an embarrassment that's going to be. Amen. Worshiping in the light. Working in the light. Warring in the light. Number four is walking in the light. Ephesians 5. Could have used several verses here. But look at Ephesians 5. And verse 8, Ephesians 5, 8, it says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 John 1, verse 7. Go back there. 1 John 1, verse 7. Walk as children of light. I don't know how it could be said any plainer. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, there it is right there. We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Walk in the light as He is in the light. That's how we need to walk, in the light. Go back to Ephesians 5 and look at it again. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 6 says, Let no man deceive you, huh? You know, one evangelist said this, said, we've gotten used to the world. We have too, you know. I hear more and more Christians talking about gray areas than I ever have before. That isn't what the Bible teaches. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Not joining hands anywhere, just separate. Here's a line right here. Doesn't mean I hate anybody. I love them. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. But I'm not supposed to be like them. I'm supposed to be different. But we get used to the world, and we get used to all the things of the world, and pretty soon we become worldly. I want to walk in the light. Do you want to walk in the light as He is in the light? I mean, honestly, we many times we'll talk about what would Jesus do, but we really don't mean that. Because we wouldn't be doing half of what we're doing if we did what would Jesus do. Look at Romans 7, verse 13. Walking in the light. Romans 7, verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. That's because we see it as it is, because the light reveals what it is. Now, if I'm walking in the light, sin's really obvious to me, because it is manifest. It is shined on by the light. I can tell what it is. So can you. We all can. When we're right with God, somebody cusses, and you know, we're repulsed by that. We don't want to hear that stuff. They use God's name in vain, and we're ready to fight. Amen. Now, we don't fight, but we might say, sir, could you refrain from saying that? That's my Savior. You know, you don't have to be nasty. You don't have to be mean, but that's what we... But anymore, it's not a big deal to us. But that's because we're not in the light. Because if we're in the light, sin becomes exceeding sinful. Isn't it amazing the stuff we accept anymore? Isn't it amazing the stuff we accept on television? Isn't it amazing the stuff we accept on our bodies? The clothes, the outfits, the look, the actions, the music, the stories we'll listen to at work. Now why? Because we're not walking in the light. When you're walking in the light, you know, you're walking with the Lord, and we're walking as He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and can two walk together except they be agreed? No, but I'm agreeing with Him. I'm walking with Him. Lord, I'm with You, and it's light, and it's wonderful, and it's a great walk we're taking together. And look at that. Oh, that's terrible. I don't want to see that. Oh, that's bad. I don't want to hear that. Get away. That's how we're supposed to walk, in the light. And you know, light and dark, there is a line drawn, right? God separated the light from the darkness. Read it, Genesis. Huh? I'm amazed how we don't draw the line. But in Ephesians 5, verse 11, God draws the line. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Boy, today you reprove works of darkness, and it's like you're the bad guy. I'm amazed. Absolutely amazed. Christians get all bent out of shape. What about love? You need to have love. Love. That'll bring them to God. Love. And what about God saying, reprove them? I mean, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So instead of reproving this look, we spend $25 to go listen to it and look at it. That's what's happening. You say, preacher, you know, you ought to have some more love. I'm just saying, folks, walk in the light. Those that are walking in the light, they see that kind of stuff, and they get all bent out of shape because the light shines on it, and it's so obvious. And others are saying, hey, man, we need to have peace with one another. Come on, let's all get along with each other. Walk in the light. You know, when you were in the light, you didn't get along with all that junk either. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And God draws a line between light and dark. Look at 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. You say, I know what that is. That's a little 2 Corinthians 6 passage. Yeah, I know. And why would we not like that? It's divisive. It is. It is divisive. 2 Corinthians 6. The whole thing is, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? That is an excellent question. And what communion hath light with darkness? How does light and dark get along? It doesn't. Either have one or the other. Is that true or not? I kind of like the dim view, the gray. Yeah, I know, your whole life is. What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? None, 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 none. Boy, we want to, though. The Bridge. That's the name of some Burger King kind of a thing over in Indiana. The Bridge. The Bridge. Bless God. Blow that thing up. There's a line. Hello. Yeah. Walk in the light. So, well, what if we mix a little bit of light and a little bit of dark together? You have lukewarm, and God says that's vomit. There's a lukewarm color, black or white. Walk in the light. What are you going to walk in, light or dark? No man can serve two masters. Number five is witnessing in the light, Philippians 2 and verse 15. Philippians 2, verse 15. Witnessing in the light. Again, now's the time. We can. Amen? Anybody get arrested last week for telling somebody about Jesus? Nope. Philippians 2, verse 15. Anybody get arrested last week for giving out tracts? Nope. I don't think you ought to throw tracts. I don't think you ought to litter tracts. Tracts cost money. I think you ought to put them in good spots where people read. Restroom stalls are perfect spots. Who is it? Somebody used to roll them up in the toilet paper. That's a great idea. Amen? I'm excited. I'll go into a mall, go into the store or something like that, go in the restroom. There's our tracks. That's good. Good place to read. Philippians 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. That's what it is that we have. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain, witnessing in the light. Now is the time to hold forth the word of God, the word of life. We shine as lights in a sin-darkened world, like a lighthouse guiding to safety, like lights on a runway helping the plane to land, like lights on towers that keep planes from running into them. That's what we are. Witnessing. What's a witness? Someone who tells what they've seen. Do you have anything to tell? Amen. Do you have anything to tell? You say nobody's interested. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Besides that, that isn't what God said. God says, go ye, whether they're interested or not. Witnessing in the light. Number six is watching in the light. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. Watching. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You can't get drunk. That's not what sober means there, but it does mean that. We're children of the light. We're day people. Children of the day. What's he say? He says, watch. Watch. Watch what? Well, first of all, watch out. Amen. Watch out. Why? Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's watch out. Amen. Watch out for temptation. You know, Jesus said to Peter, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh, that's what always gets us. It's the flesh. The flesh is weak. How many times is your spirit saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it? And your flesh is saying, do it, do it, do it. How many times is the spirit saying, you need to do that? And your flesh is saying, no, you're too tired to do that. I mean, all the time. It's a constant battle, constant battle. We need to watch. We need to watch. And don't get comfortable. Peter got comfortable and he slept. And pretty soon he's in a whole different crowd. I'm saddened. My heart is broken by folks that continually, over and over, throughout the nation, throughout the world, they're all of a sudden they're in a different crowd. How sad! It's because they slept when they should have been watching. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Watch, watch. What do we watch? Look at Luke 12, verse 37. Luke 12. Verse 37, watch. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. We need to be watching for the Lord. Boy, it's exciting. This is an exciting day. I'll tell you, just you look at, I have a lot of people sending me things now, and you know, some of it I look at, some of it I ignore, but all of it is screaming, Jesus is coming. It really is. I mean, you know, you look around at how the world is going, and I know Christians have done this for many, many years, but I believe with all my heart that we need to be watching for the Lord. And certainly it's not something to be discouraged about, something to be excited about. Watch for the Lord. Why? It's light. It's a whole lot easier to see in the light than it is in the dark. Amen. And then the last thing is waiting. Waiting in the light. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. I said, number 1, worshiping in the light. 2, working in the light. 3, warring in the light. 4, walking in the light. 5, witnessing in the light. 6, watching in the light. And number 7 is waiting in the light. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Waiting, 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 waiting. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Lord's coming. Everything's going to be true. Everything will be made manifest then. You know, you ever get in an argument with somebody and say, well, one of these days you'll find out I was right. One of these days we're going to find out he's always right. We should know it. We should have that figured out a long, long time ago. But he's right. He's always right. Wait, 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 wait. Well, I just don't know if I can. No, just wait on the Lord. It'll be okay. Just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the answer. If it tarry, wait for it. Amen. But I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. I'm needing an answer. He said he'll give you the answer. He'll bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He'll make manifest the counsels of the heart. Wait, wait, wait. Look at Revelation 21. Here's what we're waiting on. Revelation 21, verse 23. Revelation 21 and verse 23. The Bible says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. That's an amazing thought, amazing truth in the Scripture. In Revelation 22:5, I said we'd end with this, there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Wait, 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 wait. Boy, it looks dark. Oh, yeah, but it's going to be real light. Amen. Oh, I see the darkness coming, kind of like a storm, you know. It's amazing how we as Bible students and going through Bible college and everything, you got everything figured out. You know, and we got this figure. We got Russia figured out what they're going to do, and Germany's figured out what they're going to do, and we have China figured out what they're going to do, and we had the Roman Catholics figured out who they were, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, here's the Muslims. I didn't think about that. Yeah, I'm like a dark cloud. Boy, I'll tell you, everything just keeps rolling in like a hurricane. You see the pictures of Hurricane Katrina years ago? Boy, on the internet, some of those were just, it's devastating. I mean, that big old black massive storm as it's coming in. I mean, that's how it is. The world is becoming like, it's like boy, everything's just coming in on us. And but wait, because we win. Amen. Don't wave the flag of surrender. Wait, just wait. Wait, because it's light. It's still light. And you know what? When the Lord takes us, it's going to be light forever. And when the rapture takes place, we're gone. And it'll be light for all eternity. Yes, we're children of light. Let's live like children of light. It's sad today. So many times, folks are. It's like we're ashamed that we're Christians. It's kind of like here in church singing. You know, it's like. I think, what is wrong? We're children of light. light came, and light came into my heart. I want everybody to know. I want everybody to know I'm not in darkness anymore. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. I'm going where there is no night, where it's always light. I'm going to walk like a child of light. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Perhaps you're here tonight and you've never been saved. I'd love for you to come and get saved tonight. You'd say, "Preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Please pray for me." Raise your hand if that's you. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone? I'm not sure. How many Christians would say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm saved, but God's speaking to my heart tonight. Please pray for me." Raise your hand. All over. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. Pray for me. Father, bless now the invitation. I do pray that you will help us to make the decisions we ought to make. Help us to walk as children of light and live as children of light. And I pray, God, that you'll just work now in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.